Boy, Kyle, I can't believe Bobby Kotick got freaking subpoenaed this week.
Yeah, about that.
They're coming for his papers! They need his documents. The ones that haven't been shredded yet.
So this is a really interesting story, and we covered it in depth over on Nexus Gaming News, and you should check it out. This story is still kind of ongoing at the moment, too, because since we recorded then, people have are beginning to talk about whether or not this is insider trading.
Yeah, there's been so much. And we get into a lot of the details as to how that could come about in the most recent upload for Nexus Gaming News. So if you haven't already, it's more of Kyle and myself talking video games. And this week we're breaking down the fact that a bunch of executives at Activision Blizzard have been subpoenaed by the federal government. So go find Nexus Gaming News wherever it is you get your podcasts, or just check out youtube.com/amovetv. because we have the video version over there, and it looks pretty nice. We've got a lot of visual updates and references and whatnot. So go give that a look-see. And if you want a website, it's amove.tv/Nexus Gaming News. All right, let's get to ITN. Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark amove.tv for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm. It's Thursday. This is when we do the show. Got a fresh new show for you here. Garrett Weinzierl here, as always, with Kyle Ferguson. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm done. Oh, my God, dude. I had such a brutal last 2 weeks in this game. Quick match is just Nazebo Fiesta. I love it. It's my jam. I'm not doing anything new that I didn't do in 2016. To be perfectly honest, the talent text has changed. I have not. And my general strategy of worthing it for a keep has not changed.
Still putting your spiders where they need to be.
Exactly.
You're still hoping people get stuck in your zombie wall.
I would go beyond hope. I think I've got some skills. We're beyond hope after so many years, but...
Whoa.
Hmm?
the way you said that. I know what you meant. I was trying to be funny. It sounded darker than I think you intended it. We don't need hope. We're good, is what you meant.
Yeah, but the game was unkind this week. And I had my run-ins with Fan. He's doing another, you know, bronze GM challenge. He's almost there. He's in Masters.
Which, so, you know, I'm going to take this as a moment. I feel like at least once a month, like clockwork, someone's like, why haven't you had Fan on the show yet? It's because haven't heard back. So if you watch Fan, tell him to come on the show.
Oh yeah. But he's also busy. Like, he does 9 hours straight. I totally get it. Like, different platforms. I mean, look at podcasts, try to break into YouTube. It's a bizarre segmenting of audiences, Twitch, YouTube, podcast.
Oh, I'm not saying go be obnoxious. I'm just saying, you know, let him know that I like you. I like this. I'd like chocolate and my peanut butter together. That sounds wonderful.
I would love to complain about Smurfs, but frankly, when you're in Masters and High Diamond, it's just silly to do it, because what are you going to do? Like, oh my God, they're incredible is all you can complain about. But this week, over the past 2 weeks, I've gone 2-10 in my ranked games. And
that's a rough one.
It's wearing on me. In particular, four of these losses back to back this week were against one player, and I had them on my team once and we lost because no one wanted to be shot called, if you get where I'm going at.
So this player takes the reins, and team you ended up with, the one game where you were with this player, the rest of y'all didn't like being reined in.
Oh, it was go to Dota. What are you doing? And here's the Storm shot calling. Why would you ping that? Ping, 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 ping. Oh, you like pinging? Ping, 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 ping. And it was just like, no, please. This gray main's working really hard. Like, I've got nothing but respect. He jumps in the draft and he's like, this draft, then this, and then this. We need this. We need this. And this minute one, I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to go do this. And then I'll go steal their camp. Watch my back. Brightwing, watch me. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to go here. And just like APM was all spent typing. They're also a great player, but just typing the whole game long. They're a Smurf account. Their name suggests as much, you know, when the name kind of like knows the game and it's really low level, you're like, oh yeah, you know, that's a reference to the game you're currently playing. There's no way you did that on accident. And they're just incredible. So then
wait, is their name actually knows the game?
No. I just don't want to say their name, you know. But,
okay, but, okay. I just wanted that to actually be the name.
It was a reference like Mercs Are Good would be like an equivalent of this name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know when to disengage. Being
like, yeah, no one walks around the world being like, I love mercenaries. No, it's not what you do.
Follow me.
Yeah. So the next couple of games, like coordination on the enemy sides. Everyone's digging this. I had to fight them and Fan at the same time. And it was mad impressive. You know, it was hard work. And I was really in awe of their efforts in their climb. But it broke me, man. It broke me.
We've all been in that situation before. I tend to be in those situations when I am a pickup for your NGS team. It hurts. It hurts getting styled on, man. No one wants to get styled on.
Mad styled, no, yeah.
Nobody. I watched. I started. I finally started it. Everyone has been tweeting at me to go watch that Netflix series, Formula One: Drive to Survive. I guess they put this out after every season, and you get to kind of see like look behind the scenes and see a bunch of the drama. And the episode I watched last night was like entirely dedicated to these two teammates who would not stop feuding. They were, one would get so mad when the other would overtake them, they literally started running each other off the track. Sometimes you just don't want to get passed. It doesn't matter what level you're on. I think we're all, if we're playing this game, especially in draft mode, you're probably a little competitive. A little bit.
I feel it. As long as the documentary isn't about the people making the documentary, that's where I lose my marbles.
I can't think of a reference there, but I follow.
Well, so let's say they were going to do a thing about people driving cars, but then it's actually about the difficulty of the filmers trying to capture the cars. So like you're watching a wolf documentary, but they won't stop filming themselves looking for wolves because probably by the time they got back to the office, they didn't have any footage of the wolves they were looking for.
You literally just described every ghost hunter show there is because they never find any ghosts. So it's all about them trying to find ghosts.
That's true. I do give a bit of a pass for ghost hunters though, because like they're spooked, you know, they're scared. They're nervous. And like, that's kind of like the energy you're vibing on anyway.
I mean, maybe anyway, point stands. Not to be clinical at the expense of your sanity, but, it's good to see you're human, Kyle. Like you are one of the most relentlessly positive human beings I have ever met in my entire life. And I think it's a wonderful quality that I am legitimately jealous of. But it is impossible for me not to go, I'm not used to seeing Kyle frustrated and not find interest in it. And I know that's like, it's cold and kind of mean sounding, and I don't mean it to be.
Oh, no. Like, I know there's been a lot of people that are like, what's the man like behind the curtain? Like, oh, it's all an act. And when it's over, he just loses it completely. And can't, like, no, the saddest reality of it is that I'm like, that darn Smurf. I know they're not a Smurf. And then I tell myself how good they were. And I think about how amazing they were. And if I can learn anything from that amazing. And I'm like, I really don't want to. And that's my own failing, which means you get back in the self-analysis. Like you're just constantly what would be a delightful just throwing of grass in the air and snapping twigs is instead reduced to a quiet grumble in the corner while you realize what your emotions are doing to you and you wish to be free of them. So I know I could do this. I should pick Greymane like this guy did, steal camps all early game. I could type up a storm. You know, I'm thinking about how I can absorb this experience into something usable. But honestly, right now, I just have no idea what to play. The Cassia nerf really hit me hard in a very much kind of like a Nubarak tank kind of way of like I had this exact combo that killed you in this amount of time. And now all the combos are wrong because overall the damage got decreased. So I've been just like flirting around like Gazlo's top win rate on hot slogs right now. So I went over Gazlo's way, got my butt kicked by D.Va on Infernal Shrines. And I was like, oh, okay, let me look into this further. Ah, oh, Gazlo's owning the lower leagues. There's still amazing picks like D.Va on Infernal Shrines. This makes perfect sense. So let's wander over here and we'll do some Leoric because I saw Fan do it. And Fan has this amazing quality where everyone wants to kill him nonstop, which is he's garnished over time.
So are you saying that Leoric only performs when he distracts literally all five opposing players?
Yes, to an extent.
And since you're not Fan, all five opposing players are not trying to kill your Leoric?
Right. There's a little bit of a there's a double stack. There's both side psychology going on. Like Fan is so busy with his Zeratul or his Leoric occupying the entire enemy team that their team's like, hey, all right, they're all on Fan. Let's go do objective because we can't possibly play as well as him. And meanwhile, our team's going, let's all kill Leoric. That's Fan. And it's just such a huge distraction. But at the same time, he's playing in a play style with that Zeratul, with that Leoric Ominous Wraith kind of business that he takes so long to kill. That, in fact, even if he wasn't Fan, it would be a really good idea. I'm just not sure everybody would focus fire him like that, or vice versa on the enemy side, that people would let him do that, right? Like, yeah. Someone go say that, Anduin, pull out Leoric, he's dying. Like, you know, you just let it happen. So, but I'm trying to absorb that as well. I think that's a really cool quality, a really interesting way to play, double soak in the early game and then become this their half of the map nuisance that basically gives you full map control on things like Garden of Terror, on things like Sky Temple, where just map control means you get objective and all the merc camps, and it's just a macro kind of style thing. I think that's a really awesome idea. A lot of my tilt, too, is just coming from Dahaka, man. Dahaka. Whoa, I got a beef with what this guy can do.
Are we focusing on all of it, or is it specifically globals, or specifically dodging damage, or specifically, I don't know, dragging people with a tongue?
Oh, it's everything. Like, there's that casual burp he gives in lane. You know the sound. And like, oh, all his health's back. No, I worked hard for that. What was? And then you're like, well, at least he spent his essence, right? Like, there's this part of your brain that goes, maybe it's like Diablo. Maybe it'll be okay. It's back.
This sounds like classic waiting for patch.
Yeah, no,
we've been studying the exact. It'd be like you just sat there. You went to the museum. The only thing you could do for 3 hours is stare at the Mona Lisa. Yeah, it's a world famous painting. But you know what? If you sat there just staring at that and you're not allowed to do anything else, you're gonna find some imperfections.
Yeah, you're gonna be critiquing it a bit.
You're gonna be like, I thought it was gonna be bigger. Which is what everyone says about the Mona Lisa.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is often the critique. They put it in a really big frame though, which I think does it disservice because then the frame has all that edge. And you're thinking about how it doesn't fill that out. It's like anytime.
Are you saying it's like the burp of Dahaka? It's a lot of healing for a little burp?
Maybe. I was more thinking of the analogy like when you see a phone or, like a TV, and then there's like nothing on there's black bars on the side, and you're like, what did I pay for? This is insane. Oh, sometimes it's even false advertising on the box. Yeah, you can go.
Well, don't tell me you're a full screen watcher.
Of what now?
Of movies. Tell me you don't like zoom in to get rid of the black bars.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that I was not talking to an absolute monster.
In fact, I haven't seen a widescreen movie in a long time, but I think that's just because I watch everything digitally and streamed and it's not, doing bars on me. I really thought about it.
Should be if it's a movie that was in anything other than 16:9.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it much. But there's a patch definitely coming. We're in the silence period from the devs working hard on that patch. We'll likely see some messages rolling in this next week. I'm a lost boy.
Let me slap this on you. Here's where I'm at. Loving Brightwing, happy as a clam to draft Brightwing. Still bored with Rexxar. Wouldn't mind doing, going back to some solo lane business, but just a little burnout on it. I'm looking at a Nubarak, Kyle. Nubarak's doing real well. I'm afraid to hover a Nubarak, though. Because if I end up in a scenario where I don't get the Nubarak, there is nothing else in that slot I want to play.
Yeah.
I don't have a through line if Anubarak gets picked. And people are going to go, wait, you were showing Anubarak. Anubarak got picked by the opposing team, and now you're on Brightwing. I'm confused. And I do not want to inject that level of confusion into my draft.
I mean, your best connection is Mirrodin, probably.
Blah, blah, blah. I get it, though. You're right. Similar movement capabilities, similar disruption, way better survivability than a Anubarak.
Yeah, Anubarak's still that kind of stealth tank, which is an interesting space for him. I'm seeing a lot of Mal'Ganis win rate right now. That's quite up, which is fun to see.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been consistently rising. This has kind of been his patch, in a way. Like, yeah. There's a few stories in this patch. Tracer has just, you know, glommed on to her trajectory and is now a top three hero. But I think Mal'Ganis' rise, it's that in Nazebo, really. But as we talked about last week, Nazebo isn't really one-to-one with where Zagara was.
Not at all.
Still has his places and his compositions for sure. So,
And so much of Nazebo's win rate is padded up by superstition. Mm. It's just you built a comp that lacked the poke, and now you've overrun them with the lane clear on top of it, and it's gonna destroy you again. Like 56% win rate when superstition is picked, which is 24% of the time, but it's just a really great niche kind of angle for him. And I've still loved Mephisto. There's a lot of heroes that I really love. I need to go quick matching. You know, I got to figure it all out again. I was on that Cassia spree, and some folks have told me, just go back to Cassia. It ain't that bad. It's that combo, you know, it's your full hand combo in a card game. You had it all figured out, and then they changed one damage, and now it doesn't do 20 damage. It's not worth it. Hmm.
Well, I feel you there. Hell, all right. Maybe I need to just... there's worse heroes to play than Mirrodin, I guess. It's worse heroes. But anyways, dude, before we move along with the show and get into some... we have quite a few conversations prepared for today. We want to thank those of you out there supporting us at patreon.com/ITN. That is where you can go and not only get access to things like our Discord, which have some lovely folks in there. We can go hang out and also play games with us for our monthly patron bonanza game nights. We have one. We're going to be planning one for next week, by the way. So keep an eye on patreon.com/ITN or in the Discord, because we're going to be posting the sign up sheet for that very, very soon. Also, we've got some new patrons. We have both Vander Lyle and Dominic Bryce boys this week signing up, becoming patrons, supporting the two of us here, Kyle, supporting our guests because we do pay them for our time. And as we mentioned before, you and we ripped this Band-Aid off a while ago, dude. We make content for a living. This show is a big way that we pay the bills, and we get it. It's quiet right now. And we've seen that by how many patrons are leaving. So check out patreon.com/ITN. And if you like our show, you feel like it's a staple of your week, consider chipping in a dollar or two. We'd really appreciate it. I saw you start to talk there, and I feel like I cut you off.
No. I agree with everything you've said, and I really appreciate the new patrons coming. We understand this time of year, too. There's lots of things going on, reshuffling. But we appreciate all you sticking it here with ITN and our coverage of this wonderful game. And though it might tilt some weeks, it's still just a damn fine game.
Tilt comes and goes, Kyle, just like wins.
It does. But Heroes of the Storm and ITN Cast are a match.
It's a constant.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing what's new in Heroes of the Storm this week. So let's get to it.
We're on, boys! Let's liven up this place!
Point me to the stage.
Stay a while and listen.
There's a great thread on the Heroes of the Storm subreddit this week about surprising tips and tricks, and you pulled out some of the more surprising ones, and most of these, if not all of them, have blown my mind. So where would you like to start?
At the top?
That was a tee up. So apparently pressing D while channeling Morales' Q interrupts the ability, and you can always press Alt Q to stop it instead.
Very cool.
I did not know this.
Yeah. There's also a tip here that you can press Q again to stop D.Va's mech from moving while it's exploding during boosters. And I didn't know you could do this either. I always backed up to the exact distance, shot my exploding D.Va mech on boosters out, and then hope it ended up where I wanted it to.
I did the exact same thing. So you're telling me that I don't need to do the back pedal to use... I don't need to aim with my max distance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, imagine doing that on Sylvanas with a Wailing Era. It's insane, but it's just kind of how I figured it worked. Now I do have a question that's just coming into my mind here, and I'm in game here, and I'm going to go research. What happens when I get to mini Lucio buttons when I take D.Va pilot abilities and I want to pull this off?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because if I go and get good to go, and I now have, I need to make a bomb here. Let's get a bomb. Okay, we're zooming. Oh, okay. So I cannot torpedo dash while the mech is dashing.
Oh, so
because it's current.
Yeah. Okay, so the mech, it's like a priority system.
Right.
So the mech boost trumps the torpedo dash.
Exactly.
That's really good design, in my opinion.
Yeah,
a stack in magic is what it reminds me of.
That's pretty.
This resolves advanced. First. I mean,
there's a huge bit of learning D.Va that is just doing little quick cues. And granted, your cue has a forced, what is this, half second cast time, so you can't go zoom boop and then immediately get out of it. But a lot of D.Va, and particularly getting in a body block, is learning to deactivate your cue. After you did it, you're not supposed to zoom around in circles because, frankly, you can only boop everything once and then it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. All right. This one recently I learned while filling in with you for your NGS team at some point, which is that if on Sky Temple, if you are taking the boss, you should stand on the opponent's half of the map because then the tornadoes will spawn on that side.
Yeah. So they target heroes, and since the tornado disrupts, you all stand on the enemy side of the map, the tornado spawns, and you all run to your side of the map where you're now safe from Tornado Town.
Yeah, it's essentially Heroes of the Storm synchronized swimming. You all have to do this as a unit, like all on the say you spawn left side, you all need to stand right side, and then once all the tornadoes show up on the right side, you go back to like your safe side and you're like, ha, try and come in from the right side now, villains.
Granted, they're not affected. No, they are. They're affected by the tornado because the tornado is still neutral. So it'd be inhibiting their ability to get into you. But then once it's a taken boss, then the tornado no longer affects allies.
Yeah, it's more about just making it a lot harder to steal the pad.
Right. And the fact that you now don't have to contend with a tornado messing up your positioning when they also get in there. It's a very, very powerful trick. But as mentioned there, it has to be everybody doing this because the boss does randomly select. And it seems like it even intends to target the side that's attacking it.
Yeah. This next one completely blew my mind and I need to try this.
Okay.
However, I haven't seen a lot of ETCs, which is required to try this, because apparently if you are Brightwing and you use phase shift on an allied hero that is currently in mosh pit, meaning like they're in the mosh pit stun and mosh pit is happening, you can shift command a polymorph onto ETC and you will polymorph the ETC before you yourself are stunned by the mosh pit.
That makes sense. There's probably a chance that this wouldn't work, but I'm not sure about that. The chances are that it will work because it's pulsing. We've all seen the stun at the bottom of the screen when mosh pit's going. It's going bidoo, 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 and continues to refresh a very, very short duration stun over and over again, making the full duration of mosh pit.
Yeah.
So when you land in between those bidoos, there must be a moment where you can polymorph the ETC. And by using a shift command, you make sure it happens immediately upon your arrival there, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to try my best to remember this and commit it to my mind, to my bag of Brightwing tricks.
Luckily, with this trick, it's a little easier to do because the shift command would be issued during your teleport too, which means you wouldn't accidentally issue a move command. That's the hardest thing about these, is when you want to pull off a shift command combo, but instead you're currently moving and then you want to stand somewhere else after you've already started the combo in the shift command. So you do half the combo, then a shift command move, and then the other half of the combo is no longer a combo.
Yeah, it gets really clunky there, but you're coming in off of a phase shift where you're standing still in the first place.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So just don't click the ground.
Yeah. Apparently, Valyra can cancel being stealth without using abilities by pressing D. And apparently, this also works against other stealth heroes.
Well, be good against other stealth heroes, right? Because you can't target stealth heroes with auto abilities or right-click abilities. So when you're Valyra and you're trying to fight a Zeratul, you have no way to target them with the things that are targetable while you're stealthed. So you would then use your D to pop out of stealth, and now you have access to Blade Fury or Sinister Strike, which hits the air, which means you can knock somebody, opponent, out of stealth.
Oh, okay. I think I was thinking about this too hard then, because this is something I already do.
Oh, yeah. Then you already do it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because it's like, oh, I want access. If you've played a rogue in World of Warcraft, it's very much the same way, depending on how you've had your stealth bars set up versus your non-stealth bars. If there's like something you want to use that you can't use while stealth, you need to leave stealth. And yeah, in Heroes, it's D by default. So
I think the stealth side of this gives you a reason to do it, because otherwise Valyra just wants to stay in stealth for as long as possible. Of all the heroes to knock out of stealth, Valyra is the greatest celebration in my mind, because you've countered her primary engagements and on those crazy ranges.
Yeah, right. And she can use your Q dash to get away, but it's not like Zeratul. Like, you knock Zeratul out of stealth, he just blinks away, and you're just like, ugh.
There's still a chance. He might just be like, I'm still walking towards you. This was my plan anyway. Just get ready for it.
You fool. I wanted this. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Apparently, Lili's ult goes on a much shorter cooldown depending on how long it has been channeled.
I think people here would know that. Yeah, that's part of the tool tip text. But I totally see if you left for a while and you came back and Lili seems mostly the same, Jugs of 1,000 Cups does let you cancel for a reduced cooldown.
Yep. This one I recently found out by accident. Misha can tap the fountain.
It's pretty weird. I don't believe this one, but I know it's true.
Yeah, like you issue your D move command to Misha when you're playing Rexxar. If it's on the fountain, Misha will drink from the fountain.
It's gross.
It makes sense. She's considered a hero. She counts for half a hero death if you kill Misha, and all of the hero stacking abilities. If you hit a Misha, it counts as a hero stack. Misha can get the orb, which gives orb effects to Rexxar as well. Like, it all counts.
They need to add a slopping noise. You know, the usual, if we have a Diablo map, or the usual heal noise that comes forth from a Moonwell sort of thing. Yep. Just give me a big old dog bowl slopping.
Yeah, yeah. This next one is one of the main reasons I love Rexxar so much, even if I'm a little bored with him at the moment. Misha can be controlled directly during many stasis effects by using right click, which means you could even break yourself out of something like Cocoon.
Nice.
Yeah. This is always so funny. When someone like puts you in a stasis effect and thinks they can just like stand on, say, a Braxis pad with impunity. And so it's so great when you nail someone with this, when you've had this really close fight and you're low, they're afraid of dying, so they throw you in their stasis effect and then just stand there on the point like, ha-ha! And you're like, no, I'm going to laugh because Misha's going to chew your butt until you're dead now.
Because she's still going, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It is interesting that, you know, that is such a choice of Rexxar, and a lot of his power pie is baked around Misha being able to do things like that, so perfectly understandable that it does work that way.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if Misha just straight up farted off. Or ran around scared.
Yeah. Mokthal in the chat room has an interesting question about the previous one, which is wondering if using the fountain with Misha uses up Rexxar's fountain charge. I'm 99% sure yes. It's not something I thought of, but that would be so absolutely busted if it didn't.
No, that'd be crazy, crazy, right? Then you have like a half charge there. I mean, granted, you know, dog bowl here.
Yeah, because when you use the fountain, it applies to both of them. So if Misha's was unique, you'd have double the fountain cooldowns.
I'm running here. I'm going to get hit by Arthas a little bit, and I'm sending Misha off to go drink some fountain. Be funny if Rexar was like, Misha, you should drink from a fountain. Yeah, it's these are full cooldown. Cooldown.
Yeah.
So just as though Rexar himself touched it. Granted, there's probably a good reason we don't know about this, because Rexar's hiding behind the wall by the fountain and Misha's out doing stuff usually.
Yeah, nine times out of ten. But you know, sometimes it's a team fight, you're damaged, it hurts, you mount up, you're running back, Misha gets the mounted movement speed, and for whatever reason you move Misha for there's weird little side reasons you might want to do this. You never know. Like, leave Rexar behind to harass someone trying to steal your mercs, like mid lane, and you run Misha over just to like grab that little fountain while you keep whacking on someone.
And you got a like aspect of the hawk that increases Rexar's attack speed by 125% for 4 seconds, but Misha's basic attack increases the duration. So again, there's not like a build for Rexar where you'd basically be like, I'm assist Vala.
No, it's like a random scenario tip for sure.
Yeah,
it's still good to know. Yeah, it's still good to know. So, apparently, if you put a D.Va mech in stasis while it is exploding, D.Va cannot get into a new mech.
That's a really cool tip.
That is a really clever interrupt.
Yeah. I guess, so you got Chromie, but that's not really long enough to maybe get the D.Va.
Void Prism?
Void Prism being the big obvious one, right? Like, that's a full-blown counter, and that's really gross.
Yeah, if the D.Va's smart, they'll run into the Void Prism, but depending on, maybe they just did the boost trick.
Yeah,
talked about it, so they're nowhere near it.
The only other one would be Containment Disc. I mean, there's of course, a number of them. Maw would be neat, but I'm talking about like heroes who would do it and then actually make something happen out of it. And Zeratul's number one in that book.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really clever. And this is another one I had no idea. It makes a lot of sense once you learn about it. You're like, oh yeah. Cause it's like, no, there's already a mech. You can't have another mech. Right. There's another mech on the field. This is really clever. And yeah, if you're playing a hero like Zeratul that has on-demand stasises, this is a really clever way to get more regular D.Va kills, which I'm always looking for a way to do that. If you can't tell, I've been playing a lot of Brightwing. So any way to manipulate last minute saves on heroes that usually can last minute save themselves. I've been taking stock of it because that's who you want to hit your polymorph with. So
it's a good point. Yeah, that's the old, then you interrupt the pilot, but still can't hit the mech button and get in there.
Yep. Absolutely. And then finally, Aurel Crystal Aegis freezes Mephisto's position during his E, which means he will not be able to port back. You can use this to save him if necessary or kill him. This goes the same for Artanis's dash.
Yeah, I like this tip a lot. So, of course, Artanis at the apex of his dash is about to turn around and end up where he previously was. You give him that Crystal Aegis, and now he's out of fight. He basically did a vault with extra steps.
Yeah. And so this was a really cool post that had quite a few things I've never heard of. And the subreddit agreed. It got a ton of upvotes. Reddit user AskCrit, we salute you.
Informative as always. Thank you for your contributions.
Yeah. All right. You and I have a big big think piece that was brought about by one of our lovely patrons, Scabababa Boobs, as I like to call them. Scamabobs, said it would be funny to hear us rank the worst talents and or alts in the game. So you and I thought this would be fun to talk about 10s and 20s.
Oh yeah. And worst talents and alts. Well, let's go for the alts, right? Cause there's a lot of talents. I know we've done a big expose in the past of just like horribly unpicked talents, like down in the 1% pick rates. That was on old Lucio, to kind of give a time frame for when that episode might be. But of course, alts are just so bombastic and big and important that it's really much easier to target them as something needing improvement.
Well, I've got three level 20 alt talents, they're not all alt talents, but I have three level 20 talents I'd like to put up, and then there's one I would just like to cheat on.
Okay, well, what I have here is I've done my 10s. So we got your 20s, my 10s, and then we have some community picks as well. And then we've got a 1, 2, 3 slot here we're going to fill out when we're done.
Delightful. Immediately my brain goes, Anti-Magic Shell is the lamest talent in the history of this game for Arthas at level 20.
So this is where things get really difficult. We just started, and I'm going to say it gets really difficult, right? Because, like, to me, Massive Shove is, on Stukov, a huge disappointment. However, it will not make my list here because I understand that Stukov's kit is loaded. And to give him a healing ult, a damage ult, would be insane. So, there's nothing terribly wrong with Massive Shove. I just personally find it like, oh, I do all these cool things and I just push you away. I get its value, believe me. However, disappointing. So, Anti-Magic Shell and Arthas, I would argue that you're so gone. You're so gone down the wrong path. You're so far down the wrong path that you shouldn't have been Arthas in the first place. And this is just the poo on your shoe at the end of the hike.
The way my brain went was meta be damned. I'm just trying to think of like what offends me on a deep and personal level. Like who thought this was 20 worthy? And to me, Anti-Magic Shell is the poster child of that.
Activate to make Arthas immune to spells, spell damage for 4 seconds and heal Arthas for 25% of the damage prevented. This never has had really had a place. I remember it did get reworked and buffed slightly. The problem is, of course, we very soon after the release of HGC entered more of a hybrid kind of zone where Valas and all of our damage types, Falstad, started doing variant types of damage so that they wouldn't be as susceptible to countering in our crazy armor-based tank meta while they were trying to make tanks diversified by doing that. So most heroes do multiple types of damage, and making yourself immune to just one pile of damage for 4 seconds even just means you're receiving all the other parts of the damage, and 25% of accidental spells hitting you does not equal out to what you received anyway. You are not invincible.
Hmm.
Which, do we not have a talent called invincible? Come on here. Yeah, just make it invincible. Make it, just call it, you know, it's protected. But call it invincible, make it invincible. What's Leoric? Leoric's got one of these. It just makes him straight up protected for a time. Something Bone King? Shroud of the Death King. Cooldown 25 seconds. Activate to become protected for 3 seconds, preventing all damage. Oh my goodness.
That is so much better than Anti-Magic Shell. It's not even funny.
Anti-Magic Shell lasts 4 seconds, but it's only spell damage and you heal for 25%. And that's on a 60-second cooldown. So three times the cooldown for that guy.
So what's going on? And Shroud of the Death King, by the way, 3% pick rate. Like you can't give this thing away. And we're supposed to like give any credence to Anti-Magic Shell? Nah.
I mean, again, for this conversation, we just have to bail on the idea that there's a whole kit there and power does not necessarily get distributed in the same parts of the pie. And, you know, sometimes the buns are left and sometimes you leave the lettuce. Like,
this is strictly an emotional reaction conversation. Like, I think Anti-Magic Shell is offensive in its existence.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think protected would be really cool. And you'd still have all the weaknesses of Arthas anyway. Like, Kel'Thuzad grabs you, pulls you into his whole team. Yes, you avoided all that, but it was the pull that displaced Arthas where he has no escape that ultimately killed Arthas. It wasn't the pile of spell damage.
Yep.
It did help, though. I mean, naturally, it did help.
Death's Advance is so fun by comparison and so impactful. Like, why would you take this? Why would you take this?
A good pick. I agree. Definitely on the board, but we got more to go.
We do. Let's go to Arthas's brother for a second.
Okay. Frostbro.
Yeah. You may not know this. Arthas has a brother. His name is Anubarak.
Mm-hmm.
Level 20, Cryptweave. I am of the firm belief, Kyle, no one has ever taken the time to actually read this talent.
So you think that if there is a pick rate on things like Hot Slogs, it's merely because people saw the picture and wanted to upgrade their alt regardless of its actual text?
Yes. Don't look. I know I'm showing it. Don't look. Do you know what this does?
You hang out in an area around your cocoon and thereby lengthen the ability for a time. And then later on, they went in and added the longer they're in there, the more poison damage they take when it's over.
Okay. All right. All right. Cool. So you remember this better than I thought, which is impressive. So instead of going, and I was pretty sure you wouldn't know what this was, but you did. So instead, I'm going to go with you kind of beautifully explained why this annoys me so much. You put stay near anything on the hero that is known for running off at massive speed underground anywhere else other than where he just was. Yeah, Nubarak, you know what I want to do? Be tethered to a central location.
It's a really weird talent. I'd be very curious to see. Let me go ahead and put this to like bronze, silver, just to see if the pick rate goes up. It does. I think we're also in the territory, so it goes up by 5%, but the win rate goes up quite a bit. It's the lowest pick win rate talent, though, at 45% compared to 55%. Like, you actually lose 10% win rate at level 20 by going this alt. That's crazy. I get why this is bad, though, because you're going to get a quick pick. You're going to be like, this guy here, he's out of position. Go, team. By the way, it's going to take a really, really long time for this to pop. And by then, the enemy could react and do something else. So you got 7 seconds without it being attacked. And you're going to add possibly 6 more seconds on top of it for 13 seconds of late game sitting there.
Which assumes a lot, right? Like, there's so much to this. My major issue with this is I just don't like a Nubarak being incentivized to stay in a general location. It's a Nubarak. Like, what he does best is mobility. But also, like, if you're looking at this and going, think of the value, I go, think of human intervention. Like, if the other team decides to burn down the cocoon, I guess you get an extra 50 damage over 4 seconds. Ooh, extra 50 damage.
Yeah, my problem is more that it's a Nubarak, therefore a 13-second fight would kill him. So you want a Nubarak fight to be over maybe in 3 seconds, and isolating one target out with a normal cocoon is more than enough to actually do that. I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to go over to our target dummy, and I'm going to see how much damage this is at level 20. Because, you know, these are, of course, often presented in level one value form.
Well, this 50 damage, I mean, that then gets increased by 100% for each second they were in the cocoon, which could be noteworthy. But again, you're assuming the opposing team is not ending that cocoon period prematurely.
So here we go. We got 356 damage ticking on this here target dummy. I mean, the problem is, too, that, like, where was a Nubarak at level 20 that he found someone solo and says, I must kill you, but I would like to wait 12 seconds to do so.
Acer in chat wants to change it to be that the person in the cocoon takes the damage that's dealt to the cocoon.
Ooh. Oh, that's gross.
Are you still in there? How much health does Cocoon have?
Let's find out. Let's find out. I'll go for the level 20 value since that's what we're thinking about here. This is like devious dungeon master, though. I really like it.
Yeah.
Spiders have trapped your companion. Roll attack to break it. Oh, you didn't roll safe enough. You've hit your companion. What? That's just bad DMing, but in like a good way. Yeah. So let me head on over to Cocoon here. I don't know if I'll be able to select it. Let's see. Okay. Cocoon has 28 health?
That can't be right.
No, there must be something wrong here.
Okay.
Because that's on a target dummy. Let's try Arthas. It says 28. Is this based on like a number of hits thing? I've seen it poisoned. I've seen it destroyed. I'm healing it by 2, though. So I'm not actually sure how Cocoon works technically.
That's an interesting bit. It would appear that its health is not one-to-one with what we think of as a Heroes of the Storm health value.
Right, but and by standing next to him, healing it for two rather than increasing the duration, because the duration is going down. So the health goes down the longer they're in there. So that's easier to pop towards the end because it has less health. So we might be actually seeing more of a time point value rather than the actual hidden health value.
Okay, there's probably still something you can do there then. You need to do like a percentage of the damage dealt or something. That there's a lot of tuning that needs to happen there, but that is a very cool suggestion.
I'm Googling.
You're Googling?
I'm Googling. Of course, I've now found World of Warcraft, so I need to... So keep going. I will return us to this topic.
I would be very surprised if we find an answer via Google.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be an expose on the inner workings of Cocoon and Heroes of the Storm.
No. Seems unlikely.
No. This is going to be a... Hey, if any devs are listening, could you enlighten us on this one? Please and thanks. But Mockthall in the chat room saying it sounds like it's similar to Chess and Blackheart's Bay, which is definitely where my brain's going now. Like maybe it can take 28 hits, including like ticks of poison damage and whatnot. That would make sense.
Yeah, I've seen flame strikes hit this thing for a boatload. You know, like hey, we don't all stand around. Tracer's not necessarily opening it Blackheart's Bay fast, so I'm not really sure.
There's some. Okay, secret sauce to this.
So this here says Cocoon gets a traditional health pool. Remove extreme counters as fast damage Tracer and TAS autos. Disintegrates poisons, making it fair in their absence. So yeah, according to this, it is number of hits based.
All right, now I want to know how it works with bigger things like Flamestrike, like you mentioned. But again, we're not going to figure that out here.
Well, so, I might be getting tricked on Flamestrike, actually, because it, whoa, and then boom. And during that womb, it's already ticking down, looking like losing health, and then it gives one hit. But it lost all that health along the cast time while I also walk Kael'thas there. I probably just have it wrong, and it probably is this Blackheart's Bay situation.
Hmm. Interesting. Never knew that about Cocoon. So that'd be very difficult to program, then, if that's how we were trying to change it. Anyway... I stand by Crypt Weave is a lame 20 and I don't like it.
I agree with you. And I don't think it would be completely foreign to say the number of ticks that are removed from damage could then do damage on the other side. But then you have allies damaging allies. And I bet you on like a philosophy level, they want to avoid that.
Yeah. It would be a really big tuning concern for sure.
Yeah.
All right. My final level 20 that I'm not, that isn't like cheating the rules here, is Divine Protection on Uther.
Okay.
50 armor is good, but in, like getting a half a second longer duration, it's level 20. It's a level 20 talent. You're going to need to do more to make me want to take this.
So we're looking at Divine Protection here with a 10% pick rate and the highest win rate. Which is not terribly surprising, given that armor has so much more value in competitive scenes.
That is true, but we're talking like within a few percentages of right, the other
absolutely.
Offerings.
Absolutely. When you go to a late game fight in solo queue environments in Storm League, Resurrection is just amazing because you just soaked all the damage. There's nothing more you could want in the world than to say, hey, I'm going to come back, everybody. They spent everything on me. I'm also a healing machine. And let's do this fight over again, if not already won. What I'm doing right now is I'm going over to Heroes Profile because they have the CCL statistics uploaded. And I'm curious to see in this last season of CCL how many Divine Protections we saw. 10% pick rate, but 66% win rate.
That's pretty margin of error, that low.
Absolutely, but it is being picked for a very, very particular thing, and I bet you it's just burst reduction.
Yeah.
Like this the enemy team has one way to win in these 10% of games, and you find yourself on Divine Protection. In that way, is that a good fill talent? Like, is this a good option? Would you switch to it in a World of Warcraft raid kind of thing?
I think you've defended its existence.
Yeah.
It's still pretty, a pretty big snooze fest by my thinking.
It doesn't exist in my eyes. I agree. If armor at its base level is not doing it, there's no way that I'm going to do divine protection to make up for that in the late game. I'm going to try to do a divine hurricane, a bulwark of light, or a redemption to try to get this game back on track. However, there are other abilities like this that I think are incredible. Sort of like this.
Are they 20s?
Kits and all that. Yeah, Aureol's Aegis at level 20 gives 75 armor for 5 seconds after expiring. That thing's incredible. But there's also a very big, like, you will be protected. And there's like a whole moment. And then you come out and you're in your 75 armor. So it's a really big deal.
And do you get any armor to begin with Aegis?
None at all. No.
Yeah. So you're going from zero sum to a ton of armor. Like, that's a huge uptick in power.
So I'd be curious to see if we could tie this in. If we want to improve the pick rate, what'd be really neat is to also make his trait apply to people in area around him when he uses an ult, for instance. Be a little white maney.
There's similarities between heroes in this game. There's too many heroes. Absolutely. That's going to happen.
So you do, let's see, this is Devotion and Eternal Vanguard. So this is the Devotion part. Allied heroes affected by Uther's basic abilities gain 25 armor for 2 seconds. So in addition to at level 20, here for our fancy and improved Divine Protection, ults also give armor in an area around you. So Divine Shield, maybe around the target, and Divine Storm around you.
Everything else at that level is sexier.
I agree.
That's my thought there. The thing that is that just made me think about it that I think is kind of the opposite of that is, and this is where I'm like cheating a little bit, but it just popped in my head and I just want to talk about it real quick, is Tyrande's Shooting Star is such like, to me, like a quintessentially sexy 20 that I don't even really ever want to think about her other options at 20.
Increase basic attack range by 1 every 8th basic attack. Cast a free lunar flare at a random target near Tyrande's position. This prefers heroic targets.
Yeah. I love this talent so much. This is like one of my favorite 20s, and it is like kind of the inverse of everything we just discussed. Like, I think this is so good. It makes me not even really consider the other three.
Interesting. I mean, eight attacks sounds like a pretty long time.
It does, but like over the course of engaging, disengaging, you get a lot of value out of it. And it's just fun and it's exciting, which if you haven't picked up on, that's kind of the theme with my picks.
I think range is just an incredible level 20 reward for any talent to get in addition to like Farflight Quiver. Falstad actually has quite the decision to make, but you're basically deciding between would you like to have Nexus Frenzy, attack speed, and range, or a mosh pit. And people are going to get mad when you don't do wind tunnel.
So yeah.
No one's going to really critique Tyrande talents because they're just happy it's working.
But yeah, basic attack range is one of those subtle things. I think it's kind of along the same lines as giving more armor or whatever. It's the kind of thing you look at and go, is it that big of a deal? But it feels so impactful when you get it. And then in Tyrande's case here, getting free lunar flares on top of like gaining some basic attack range, like I think this is a chef's kiss of a 20.
Okay, so that's the gold standard we're going up against for your 20s.
Cool flavor with also just like unarguable value increase.
Okay, that's a good thing to bring up, because I think when I looked at 10s for my list here, Pyroblast would be my golden kiss, my beauteous chef's creation.
Oh, just here's way more throughput than you ever had before.
Exactly. Here is the damage on a damage ult. And to that note, things like consume souls make my lackluster damage list.
Interesting.
So Mephisto casts consume souls. It hits everybody after a big long cast time. I believe that cast time is 4 seconds. Let me look it up here. Channel for 2.5 seconds, revealing all enemy heroes. After the channel completes, all enemy heroes take damage and are slowed by 25% for 2.5. This is a huge disappointment to me, and I get why it's that way, because if it did a lot of damage, it'd be too good.
Right, because it's a guaranteed hit.
Right. So it's one of those that is held back by the nature of its abilities. So you'd have to make the ability targetable, one person, just plain awful, in order to give it the damage that it needs, like Pyroblast. Awful ability, flying through the air, tons of time to counter it. However, when it does connect, you're dead.
How do you feel about Shadow Fissure on Kel'Thuzad?
Oh, and pop explosion?
Yeah, it pops out of the ground, but it's a skill shot. It's a skill. It's an area effect where you, where it goes is up to you.
That's a tough one because it's so deeply tied to his combos in the first place. On a very short cooldown, that's basically just a basic ability. It's almost like a transformation.
So is it the cooldown with Consumed Souls more than anything else? Because it's doing more damage than Shadow Fissure, and it hits everyone.
But it is a huge cooldown. I mean, we're looking at 120 seconds for this thing, for something that's very telegraphed, loud, has a cast duration, and therefore has room to be countered across the field by squishies. And healers taking care of him. The other problem is, like, Mephisto just doesn't do well in quick match situations. So Consumed Souls is doing well in quick match situations where there's no healers, but you yourself can't really afford to be Mephisto in the first place, doing what you need to do to get people low for the Consumed Soul. So it just kind of, it kind of compounds itself as this, what I would call a premier ult that any damage bonus to would make it too great. It's merely bad because of its lack of damage. But I don't know how you do that without reworking the ability.
That's fair. That's fair. It hits too many people. It hits every time. So you're really limited there. There definitely is an amount that is too much damage for this to do.
And another example of a disappointing alt in my mind is Unleash the Boars on Rexxar. But
you win. You're the smartest man in the world, Kyle. I hate this alt. I hate that I have to take it.
I think that I see the value, right? In that coordinated play, they're overextended. Rexxar comes down from the off lane. Let's all get them. Pursuit is on, everybody. Here come the boars. Whee! And they scream their canned boar scream, which is almost like getting kind of weird because it's used in so many different games, like the spider noise. It's just used too often. But here come the boars. They connect. They do nothing. And they slow for what, 15% is probably 25.
No, it's 40. It's a 40%. It is a really substantial slow, which is why you take it, which is why this is impactful, which is why this has an 80% pick rate and a wildly higher win rate than BCO Wrath. Wildly. But
it's so dull. Like,
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. You should take this. I hate this alt. It is one of my least favorite heroics in the entire game. I'm with you on the damage. The damage is hilariously tiny. It does 110 damage to start. That's god awful. That is not even a spit in a bucket. Like, this is like, it is woefully tiny. However, do you want to know what my biggest complaint about this alt, this heroic is? I keep saying alt.
What is it?
You can't see the boars. It is the worst shot call on earth. It is a shot whisper. You can barely even tell that this happened. It is a tree falling in the woods that you didn't notice, and you were standing right in front of it as it fell.
Don't you also, you need to have, it's a cone-based effect.
Yes.
And you have to have sight of the heroes. Cone. But you have to have sight of the heroes that you're using it on.
Do you have to have sight? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if they're in a bush or something, they won't get a boar, because you don't see them, and therefore no boar.
Oh, that is just the pits. Make them bigger, man, and make them hunt people down.
I think it'd be a really great opportunity to add some sort of maybe dust effect behind the boars, just something that makes them visually look like they're heading towards their connection point, just because it is that rotational, here I come. But really, my issue with this is just that Rexxar slow, like Kel'Thuzad, we talked about a moment ago. You've got this big combo. You add more damage to your combo, damage, 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 and now more damage. Kael'thas, same sort of thing. Malfiel, slow damage, slow throughput, last rites, bam, team fights, let's do it. Rexxar has no bam. And even with Bestial Wrath, there's not that moment where I hit 10 and I go, now's the time when I'm 1v1 and here we go. I know that's not his job, but it leaves him lacking excitement for me.
I agree. The most I enjoy Rexxar is Braxis, where I go Bestial Wrath to win 1v1s consistently. Like, that's the most fun Rexxar is for me. His bam is Misha Charge, which you start the game with, though. So,
and I think I'd have more fun on Rexxar if there was a bombastic heroic that let me feel like I contributed when I'm behind. And Malfiel lets me have that moment. Whereas behind Rexxar is just depression.
It's very, yeah, it's sad. It's sad. I'm with you on Unleash the Boars. It is a heroic that I think you should take, and yet I have open disdain for. What else?
What would you call this? A legacy complaint, if you will, is going to be Reign of Destruction on Gul'dan. Another one just like Mephisto. You crank this damage up, it becomes RNG City. It's way too much. I've been in situations where this rained on me just perfectly, and it rained on my parade. I didn't like it. So it could happen. Viking Longboat, very disappointing. Could end early if against a coordinated team versus an incredible alt. If it did too much, it'd be too great. These are just damage problems. Malfiel's Tormented Souls, though, I have to bring up again because it's just not given a place.
It's the pits.
It's a mistake. It's the trap talent, as people like to call them. I can't think of a situation where I wouldn't want to delete an enemy team. At least one of them. Instead, I'd like to hover about them for a time.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Last Rites is right up there with Unleash the Boars for me for heroics that just bum me out.
Or not, well, Tormented Souls.
Tormented Souls. Yeah, I meant Tormented Souls. Sorry. Yeah, I love Last Rites. I hate missing it, but yeah, Tormented Souls is a bummer. And yet it has a higher win rate than Last Rites at the moment, even though almost no one's taking it.
Weird.
Yeah.
But there must be situations where there's so many high health target. I don't know. I don't really know.
I mean, we find it's still a pretty meaty meta. There's still a lot of heavy front line going on. So like, get it to a certain degree, but in my experience, it's just never been enough to keep Malfiel alive.
Right.
What's the point? If you're going to die anyway, take someone with you. And that's what Last Rites lets you do.
It's been that way for a long time. Back in the day, we had Tormented Souls armor, which actually negated some of that death. But a lot of Malfiel, particularly in a Brightwing meta, which we find ourselves in, is run in, hope you get Last Rites off before you expire yourself, and maybe some dots will give your team the edge because Brightwing polymorphed you and ruined your ability to maneuver at all.
I think you just don't Malfiel in the Brightwing if you can help it, but yeah.
Yeah, it'd be tough out there for a Malfiel.
Really picking right Malfiel is dangerous as hell.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
has been, still is. But I'm with you on Tormented Souls. I think. Do you want to rank these?
I've got two more.
Oh, okay, hit me.
So those were my damage based complaints, the things that just could be overtuned extremely easily. I have three abilities here, level 10s, that I just don't like thematically or as they function. And first one up is Hogger, our newest hero. Hogger has Shockwave, where you slam the ground in a line and stun people along its length. And the initial stun area right in front of you is a 1.5 second stun. That's pretty cool. And then it goes beyond in a straight line. I just do not like this design on a kit where I end up in so many random places.
You're absolutely right, dude. Shockwave is one of my favorite World of Warcraft abilities. Warriors have it, and it's a cone. I don't know why it's not a cone on Hogger.
I end up to your side. I end up to your left, your right. Rarely am I ever going to hog wild straight through you, cancel, and then be on the other side, or do this and then start hog wilding. It's so important for Hogger to be able to pummel. And if for some reason you're not doing pummel, which reduces spell power by 50%, you'll probably want to be hog wilding for armor or healing. It's just not safe to adjust your position first and then try to cast an ability.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. This needs to be, I really think this should be a cone. With all of the baggage that comes with that, tuning wise.
Next up, Imperious Wrath of the Angiris. I love Kirby in Super Smash. I think it's cute it exists in Heroes of the Storm.
This is really good thematically. I'm sorry, I'm going to bat for
you. You like it?
It's taking you to heaven and bringing you right back down to hell.
It is so disappointing to miss. 80-second cooldown on like the tiniest little step forward. Like he trips slightly walking down the street.
This is kind of the opposite of Boars, where like thematically it insults me, but you should take it. This like thematically, I love it. I'm absolutely with you on the technical side of things. However,
it can't be right click. Obviously, it's too much.
But it's like almost a full second windup. Could it be? Could it be?
Not on its current damage with a 1 second stun. I would love to see this tuned in such a way that you could perform it on your spear target. That would just be badass. Can you imagine? You got someone speared, you lift them in the air, and then you're like, we're going to heaven, baby. Off with them.
So you want a 10 that is an augment to a base ability?
Well, I mean, yeah, I do, actually. I think that spearing is so important. You've got, and the fact that you can't cast, I mean, granted, you could cast this right after a spear for increased hit rate and all that, but I just think that that would be beautiful.
You're getting called out by an ex-developer of this game in the chat room, by the way.
Oh, what am I being told?
That all of your heroic critiques are that you need to get good.
That is true. Is that true? Wait, is that true? Yeah, I mean, it's true that if I hoggered better, I could shockwave. Is it true that I could Wrath Angiris if I hit hard?
I'm going to back you up and say that you're more incentivized to go with the other options because you're just straight up making life harder on yourself with some of these.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, people play Dark Souls with bananas and DDR pads. So who am I to say not get good?
That's fair. We were asked. We are responding to a prompt. You're giving the people what they want.
If I were to go, like, you know, what I really, really want is like full Vlad the Impaler. I want Imperius to be able to cocoon people basically by leaving them on spears around the map. However, you know, maybe he's a little more, I don't know, valorous than that. Even so, comparatively, Angelic Armaments, the tiny, tiny step of Wrath of the Angiris. I would love to see this increase in range or allow me to cast it during my spear. I already had him in my spear. I already got good. I delivered the primary hit. Now let me deliver more. My final critique is for Maiev and Containment Disc, which Void Prison exists.
I am firmly convinced that so this has a pick rate. It's low. It's not as low as I think, but I'm convinced that it's people who misclicked.
You can't even augment it at 20 because you do all these Shadow Orb businesses. Great flavor. The Shadow Orb thing. I agree. You know, you're doing the Sargerian temples. I don't know if that's what they're called, but you throw a glaive and a sink. I'm just going to say get good again. Like you throw this tiny glaive on a short distance and have to hit one person. And then you have some control of when they like enter it and exit it. But it's just so sad compared to Zeratul. We shouldn't be comparing these two.
This is a heroic I frequently forget is an option.
Yeah. Warden's Cage is so loud, so big. You want to be knivesing people, multiple people anyway.
You're a hero that's usually close to people in the first place. So Warden's Cage is just, it just flows with the natural way that you play Maiev.
Right. And so what are you going to say? You're like, you pick Maiva, they pick Mephisto, and he's going to teleport around. And you're like, don't worry, I got this. I'm going to displace him during his teleport back. I'm going to hit him with containment disc. It's going to be no problem, everybody. You just sign, like, you're not even, you're getting great. You're getting amazing. Like, the get good scale just grew like 20 times. You're saying I'm going to no armor, no weapons, Dark Souls now. Okay. Like, you're not even playing the game anymore. Just making crap up.
I'm with you. This is so much more effort than you're setting yourself up to try so much harder than you need to.
Now, the community had a couple picks as well, and I think they're worth bringing up that we can add to our list here.
Okay.
Chen's Wandering Keg.
That seems personal to me. Wandering Keg has a place.
I think it is a gamble, which is why it was not a popular pick on the Reddits.
Yeah.
It's going to make everybody miss, or it's going to really, really kill and frustrate one person, which it should. However, receiving, being on the side of it, it's a rough sell compared to Storm, Earth, and Fire.
Mm.
Sylvanas's level 20 Deafening Blast had a full write-up on how awful it is.
Well, it is the least picked and lowest win rate.
So, but there's more to it. So visually, the center becomes like deeper purple or pinkish. And that area is supposed to deal bonus damage and silence longer.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, right? Because you have to activate it. So whatever's in the center is in the center. The visual indicator of it is moot.
Well, the visual indicator is actually 36% larger than the actual effect. And the effect only deals bonus damage and increased silence duration if the hero's circle center is inside that center. So if you 33% cover your enemy, Johanna, for instance, they will not be silenced or dealt bonus damage. It has to hit the hero's center in order to deal the bonus damage and silence.
If you're not reading chat right now, you really should be.
Why is that?
Because you broke Mr. X.
Okay, good.
You win on this one, according to Mr. X.
Like, there's visuals. There's visuals. There's, like, math done. There are diagrams printed about how this, even if it like, just barely doesn't touch the hitbox center, no bonus damage allowed. And in comparison, I do think that Sylvanas' 20s are very effective, but slightly lame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like Bolt on basically anyone that has Bolt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But lame. Still the lame Bolt. The OG Bolt. No Banshees. No applications of Withering Bride. Look at Kerrigan over there. She's got like a billion things. It's like one or two things, but they're amazing.
Listen, Kerrigan needs it. There's only like 7 Kerrigan players and a half. I count for half of a Kerrigan player.
Yeah. I think we can afford to give Bolt of the Storm. You know, we probably can, actually. No, we probably can't allow it to give Banshee's Curse.
Sylvanas, that'd be really Sylvanas cool. Is good enough. Sylvanas is high mobility. It has enough mobility. Yeah, I think you got to keep that in mind. I'll go to bat for it. Teleporting's good enough. Teleporting is good enough.
I agree. In the late game, Sylvanas, you're getting pretty crazy. So a nice little teleport does a lot. So Deafening Blast. But it's all wrong. And the math has been done. The final one that really got a lot of upvotes over there on the Reddit was Sergeant Hammer's Shrapnel Mines. This is, upon detonating, spider mines reduce the armor of enemy heroes hit by 10 up to 30 for 4 seconds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Level 7 called it once its talent back.
That is one I forget about. Let's look at the Hotslong's pick rate for a second. 7%.
This is up against Ultra Capacitors, which is heroes with hitting enemy heroes with basic attacks while in siege mode grants 5% attack speed for 5 seconds up to 40%. That's the big one.
Why, if you do, listen, I'm not betting value on people getting hit by my mines ever.
There are full mine builds, and I remember an expose I did 1 week on a solo lane Braxis hammer that did full mines build, and it destroyed. However, even these Hammer Mines builders will not touch this Talon. So the issue is compounded.
So the people this is made for, they don't want it.
No, they don't want it.
All right, Kyle. So I made my declaration at the top. I think any magic shell is the worst level 20 in the history of level 20s.
Okay.
Of everything we've discussed here, which were mostly, let's stick to alts for you, because you did heroics. I did heroic augmentation for the most part. What do you just think the worst heroic is?
I've taken this deafening blast and wondered if I actually did anything. I got to agree with the deafening blast.
Okay. I think it does actually trump the anti-magic shell. What about just heroics though? Not 20s, 10s. Where's 10?
Tormented Souls.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm with you. That's the one I would have picked.
Okay, so if we're ranking these, we got tippy top, Sylvanas' Deafening Blast. Granted, you know, now we're talking 10s and 20s all in the same pile, but Tormented Souls, Disappointment can all be in the same pile.
I think that's fine. I think it's, yeah. You know, yeah. For thumbnail reasons, we call it worst. I would call it confusing, disappointing.
Bit of a letdown.
Yeah. All right. I want anti-magic shell at the third place then. I want to lock down this top three with anti-magic shell.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that. I think I can give that way. So we got one for the community, one for the host, and one for the host. Yeah. Yeah. We spread it all around.
Yeah.
Well done, everybody.
I'm into it. All right. Let us know what you think. Tweet at us at ITNcast or write in ITNcast@gmail.com. You want to take an email before we wrap this up?
Let's do that.
Darkness, stop calling.
Darkness just texted me.
It's not the moment, it's a hero problem!
As I just mentioned, you can write in itncast@gmail.com. If you're a patron, you can message us right there in the patron Discord. Cameron36 wrote in and wants to know, do any of these pro players use ultra-wide displays? If not, why? I found it very helpful for me. I was just curious because you don't see it much. They boggle my mind.
Ultra-wide displays boggle your mind?
Yes, it's too far to move my mouse. I don't like them.
Oh, I see.
I've played on them at... The only time I've ever experienced ultra-wide displays were at demo stations at BlizzCon.
And but not actually the like PlayStations. You mean like a demo station?
Yeah, like, you know, they got like the NVIDIA booth and they've given away a computer setup that's all, you know, pimped out to the nines. And one of those had an ultra-wide display. And it was my first time ever seeing one of these damn things. And I was like, oh, that looks really cool. And I wouldn't mind it for something like World of Warcraft, you know, where moving your mouse around isn't the most important thing in the world. Not a healer.
we have small boxes on the side. We condense everything down to even less room than you guys use.
Especially in Heroes of the Storm. If we're talking Heroes of the Storm specifically. I'm a massive edge scroller. Like I move my. I move my cursor to the edge of the monitor a lot.
Well, Edgelord.
Sure. I guess that's not at all what Edgelord means, but sure. I am indeed an Edgelord. You caught me, Kyle. You caught me. And you just you're so far away from anything. I mean, I guess it's all relative. Because it's not like I play with a locked camera or anything. So I guess you could keep your hero close, but the cursor is just miles away, Kyle. It's miles away. It's not like it's making your fog of war further.
I'm shocked
that I don't want an ultra wide.
As the man who taught me about mouse acceleration and all this sort of getting in there and messing with your mouse so it can actually move with the power of your arm and not your wrist, I'm shocked that you would find it too big to use.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is if you're trying to counteract the fact that you have so much more screen to drag your cursor across, you would need to adjust the speed of your mouse cursor, which is going to make you a lot less accurate with skill shots.
That's fair. That's
or
fair.
It's going to make you slower to react if you don't adjust for it. Potentially.
So for Cameron's like official answer, They don't, because the chances of showing up at a LAN with a normal monitor is too high. So you don't want to train on something that you can't then use when you actually get to a tournament.
If there was ever a time to where that would be made moot, it is now. There aren't LANs anymore. And it's Heroes of the Storm. I'm not sure there'll ever be LANs again.
That is true. Well, yeah, that is true.
DreamHack's doing hot stuff.
There's
DreamHack, there's a way.
Right, right. And CCL has even kind of hinted like that's something they'd be interested in the future and all that sort of thing. I am personally, not offended. I need the right word, but I want this. I want it so bad. However, streaming in ultra wide is hideous. And so I can't do it.
Oh, that's another good point. Yeah.
I would have bought an ultra wide years ago when they first put in Heroes, because I think it's just the best thing for laning, for solo laning, for Asmodans, for Chromies, like anything. More vision is awesome. And yeah, I might have to turn my head slightly to find my mini map, but no one looks at that thing anyway.
Boy, do I take a lot of issue with that statement.
Oh,
had to trigger a Garrett in five words or less.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was just me having fun. But I do think it's a huge boon isn't the right word either, because that suggests that you're giving something to these ancient gods. Like, you are losing very little by gaining more sight and more power in your game. And I would love to do it, but I stream and I'm not going to make the investment because I stream my games and then I put them up on YouTube, and I'm not going to give my play a ultra wide for that. And I'm not going to switch back between the two because that's dangerous.
I did not consider the streaming angle of this. And I think that's like that might be the biggest reason why at this point, because most of the best players are streamers, and
yeah,
it's a terrible viewing experience. It's absolutely awful.
And until everyone's walking around with long phones, we're not going to change this.
Or ultra wide becomes a TV standard too. I don't know about you. I watch most of my Twitch on the couch these days.
It's true.
Like, what do I want? I want to look at like a banner, like a birthday banner of a video game on my TV.
I mean, it is kind of weird. I know we all get used to weird things. That's life, particularly in this generation. Life's always changing. We used to have, you know, the big lineup of all the TVs, NASA, the Fox broadcast station. They all put them in cubbies and in the holes in the wall. So they were flat screen anyway. So when flat screens came out, nobody was like, I can't do this. It was just the way that the future was going to be in the first place. It wasn't rounded or kind of faded on the edges anymore.
McMansions that did those built-ins were probably pretty mad when flat screen TVs came out.
Probably true. But they just gained more real estate on the other side of that wall. So
my parents' house has one of those. So awkward.
Or you would end up at someone's house who had like that fold out projection TV where it was a big screen, but it was done by a blue, a red, and a green.
What?
Yeah, no, you never saw one of these? It was a big screen, but it was just a screen because it was projected by three projectors of three different colors on the bottom that would shine upward.
Never saw
the screen.
I never saw.
Yeah, no. This is how you got a flat screen before flat screens were available, because you had no room behind the screen to put the housing. So kind of like how an old arcade cabinet has a mirror on top, you know?
That's really
cool. And the video is playing backwards.
I had no idea. That's really cool. Yeah. I want to see one of these. I love old analog.
At a certain point, you should just get a projector, like, you know, the projector in the back. Like, and now you've got a movie experience and you spend too much on couches. It happens.
I don't know, man. I feel like I always see those theater couches at Big Lots more than anywhere else.
That is true. And the oddly thin paper towels. But there's something about my brain that when I see an ultra-wide monitor, I go, I wouldn't enjoy that viewing experience. I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I would love it for art and stuff, but not for gaming.
I'm gonna pull back the curtain here, because I have a double computer setup. I only just this last year got a second monitor for the first time in 3 years.
Wow. Well, damn, dude. Yeah, I bet that's nice.
I was segmenting. I had notes over here, and then I had to like pull the bar, and like I had this part here, and I had to pull the bar. Granted, I've got a pretty big screen. going on. But, you know, the second computer was taken up the other monitors. I had to get a HDMI splitter, and it actually wasn't a big deal. I just didn't go about it.
Damn. Well, you know, I get it. Do you know what I want to do? I want to play Ultra Wide Diablo 2.
You know, speaking briefly of Diablo 2 at the end here, as we wrap up the show, I am impressed by what I've seen so far on Twitch. It matches how my brain updated the graphics. It looks like how the game looks in your memories. And that's a good achievement. I'm impressed.
It was as someone who was like, here we go again after Warcraft 3 Reforged. The effort is instantly apparent. It's a hell of a artistic achievement in terms of redoing every single asset in that game.
There's a lot of respect paid. Like, there's a scene in New Hope when they redid the graphics where just a dinosaur walks in front of the screen for 3 seconds. And it's just horrible. It's such a horrible decision. And at some point in 2000 something odd, we said, wow, look at that skin texture. I want to stare at that up close. And we were wrong back then. I think this is going to age gracefully. I think Diablo 2 aged gracefully in the first place. And I think all they did was, it was enhance it further.
I'll argue with that last point. I think it's one of the most hideous sprite based things I've ever seen, but
Diablo 2?
Yeah, I don't think it held up at all. I think it is is bad. I tried revisiting it in like 2011, dude. I'm like, this game's, can't do it.
Oh, my Imagine sits right on top of it. I think it's a beautiful.
I didn't have
vessel.
I don't.
A vessel for interaction.
I don't have the nostalgia for it, but. Well, anyways. Enjoy your D2, everybody. We're going to be playing HOTS. Unless anyone out there like wins a couple copies and has nothing to do with it, let us know.
That gets into like a one copy. Is that different than, you know, speaking with your wallet and stuff?
I wasn't gonna say it, but I'm gonna be honest. Everybody, I thought Kyle was getting it, so I bought it, and Kyle has informed me that he's abstaining.
I believe the trickery I pulled was I said I can play it anytime. I'll just download it, and I think that tricked you.
I misunderstood that as, oh, so you already pre-ordered it. Cool. I didn't think you were a pre-order kind of guy, but
No, I already bought it years ago, and it's on my Battle.net account. Damn it, Kyle. The downloady sort of way.
You stupid hipster that likes to wax poetic. Just speak plainly.
I didn't mean to. I wasn't intending to trick anybody.
I don't think you were.
But I will be spending tonight watching all the cutscenes on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Into the Nexus. If you want to be a part of the show, write in itncast@gmail.com. If you want to support this show, check out patreon.com/ITN. You'll get your own feed that removes the ads when we have ads on this show. You'll get access to our Discord, and you can come join us for our monthly game nights. We're doing one next week, so go sign up over at patreon.com/ITN. Also, a huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Declan H., Chris K., Sean B., and Mike R. If you want to become a producer, we have one slot left, so go check it out over at patreon.com/ITN. Other than that, we're live Thursdays around 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on twitch.tv/amovetv. You can follow us on Twitter @ITNcast. But other than that, Kyle, where can people find you?
You can find me over at Kyle Ferguson, 2 S's in Ferguson for everything I do. DMGI, my Dungeon Mastering 5th Edition Learn to Play show is back for a 9th season. I just did teaching your players character sheets while playing, and if you don't know how a character sheet works, that's how you can learn it too. Over there at DM Gives Inspiration, a podcast that can be found everywhere at about 15 minutes long, but also, actually I'm going to do two more also, so hold up. You should check out my AOS Clubhouse podcast, my Pokemon Unite show, which just had its mobile launch, which means it launched with some surprising features such as a totally cleaned up menu, an improved free-to-play system, but also spectator mode and clans all in one big update when it went to phones here. It's a rather impressive and beefy piece. While it is a 10-cent product, it's clear that they've been listening a lot and the Pokemon name is attached to it. And I'm quite impressed and really enjoying it. So check out Pokemon Unite podcast, AO's Clubhouse. And finally, I would like to promote our show, which has lots of research and lots of work put into it. Tender Love, What We Can Do in This Environment of Video Gaming, report on the news and the ongoing situation at Blizzard. And when there's not Blizzard news, we cover other news as well. Over at Nexus?
Nexus Gaming News.
Nexus Gaming News.
Yes, available literally everywhere you get your podcasts, or you can watch the video version, which we've put a lot of effort into, if I do say so myself. Lots of visual aids, more editing than you may be used to, over at youtube.com/AMOVETV. Go over there. Brand new episode of Nexus Gaming News is already up. Go give it a listen. We talk about all of the craziness befalling Activision Blizzard this week, including Bobby Kotick getting subpoenaed by the federal government. So go check that out. And that's all I really want to promote. Go listen to Nexus Gaming News. It's more of me and more of Kyle hanging out, talking about some truly wild things happening in the world of gaming. I'm on Twitter at Garrett Art. This podcast and every single other one that I do can be found at amove.tv. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much for hanging, everybody. We'll be back next week, and we'll see you next week for games. But until then, good luck and have fun.
Take care.